the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Podcast. The great American sports storyteller, Dave Wonstadt, former Bears coach. We're gonna talk some Justin Fields, some Timmy Tebow. Speaking of Tebow, people not in the media often like to lecture me on how to do media. I mean, I didn't tell my doctor how to do my proctology exam. I don't tell a landscaper how to landscape. I don't walk into a restaurant and tell the cook how to cook. They like to say, why do you waste your time on Tebow? And I like to respond, why do you waste your time asking me? I talk Tebow because he's newsworthy. No, he's not. There you go, lecturing again. We have a handful of people in news who, whenever they do anything, we talk about it. Athletes, politicians, TV stars, singers. And when they do something big, like return to the NFL, reunite with your legendary college coach who's now coaching in the NFL. Yeah, that's what we call newsworthy. Listen, when Kanye West said he was running for president and starting an actual campaign, we're going to talk about it because we look at the Google numbers and you're interested. Jake Paul, YouTuber, I'm going to fight. Then he keeps winning fights, and then his pay-per-view numbers are substantial. That tells us that you're interested. Before Donald Trump ran for president, he was newsworthy. Divorces, controversies, bankruptcies, successes. He wasn't newsworthy? All you conservatives, if it wasn't for the media talking about a candidate nobody gave a shot to, he wouldn't have been president. Do you know that in 2019, the most Googled person was an athlete? No, it wasn't Tom Brady or Tiger Woods. It was Antonio Brown. When people say Tebow's not going to be a super important player, it's not always the best or most important player that you find newsworthy. In 2015, the most Googled person was an athlete. It wasn't LeBron or Roger Federer. It was Lamar Odom. You made him newsworthy. Newsworthiness is a business, and there are a handful of people out there that drive interest. Virtually nobody can name the fourth tight end on the Jaguars depth chart. Most people can only name a handful of people on the entire Jags roster. We all know Tebow because he's interesting. Don't blame me for talking about him. Blame him. If Tebow had more self-awareness and understood that, you know, leaving a sport for nearly a decade and then coming back to try a new position is really kind of silly, I wouldn't have talked about him. I was done talking about him. In fact, years ago at the end of his NFL career, I said he probably should go give the CFL a try. He really fits that style. I was told Tebow laughed at such a suggestion. Don't kid yourself. This is business and this is ego. He's a human being. Humble at times, very much driven by the brand of Tebow, which pays him well other times. Listen, the only reason you're upset that I talk Tebow because you don't like the way it ended. People always say that. I don't like you talking Tebow. Let me ask you, if he'd have made the team, should I have ignored it? Interesting. Colin, stick to sports. I always hear that from conservatives because I tend to kind of lean left on social issues, stick to sports. And then once I put Will Cain on my podcast, I got nothing but credit. Tip of the cap, my man. Loved that podcast. You like politics from me when you agree with them. I talk Tebow because I find him interesting. I was done talking Tim Tebow. If Tim Tebow never tries to be a pro athlete again, I don't think I'll ever talk about him. But he's interested sometimes in himself and his impractical dreams. When he wants to stop, I'll stop. All right, Dave Wonstadt, former coach of the Bears and Dolphins. Dallas defensive coordinator for the Super Bowl 27 win. Coach college football, too. You're having bourbon as we talk right now. What kind of bourbon?
I'm only allowed to drink one, Terry Bradshaw bourbon. Yes.
Is it any good?
All I know, it's 104 proof. It's strong. Normal bourbon is about 87, 88. This is 104. Terry doesn't mess around.
By the way, Dave Wonstadt and I are going to dinner next week in Chicago because he has a place there. And I recently bought a little tiny place there. And so he's going to show me all his hangouts and introduce me to all his kind of favorite haunts with his beautiful wife, Jan. And so I can't wait for that. Let's dive into a couple things. So you're one of those people that I text from time to time if I have a question. And when Tebow first signed with Jacksonville in the 90-man roster, I said, what do you think? And you posed the question, does he understand how hard it is to block? Forget the catching passes thing. You said, there's no way he can come back into the league and block at a high level. So you're probably not surprised by his struggles in that department.
No, I saw some highlights of the game. I watched some of it. And, think about it. The guy, not only has he been on the league, but he's played a quarterback position. He does have the size and strength, but he's lining up against against Khalil Mack. That's the guys he's trying to block, the defensive ends. And I never thought that would happen. And he's really not athletic enough, in my opinion, or fast enough at this point in his career to be one of those tight ends that you move out wide and he's going to be the safety one-on-one. So I think it was a great effort. But he was in a tough spot. He really was. He should be an assistant coach for Urban Meyer. That's what he should do. If Urban's trying to help the culture in the locker room, hire Tebow as an offensive assistant and let him get started in coaching.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Dave. I was talking to Mark Schlereth about this, and he said, people don't understand. There's a lot of people in the stands that could catch a football or throw it, but there's very few people in the stands that could go up against a 270-pound defensive end and block him. Yep. In your career, Mike Ditka was a legendary blocking and catching tight end.
Yeah.
But most great blocking tight ends, they've got a nasty streak. I mean, Gronk can be a tough guy. George Kittle, tough guy. Those guys could be pro wrestlers. They just like contact. When I looked at the Tebow footage, Dave, he didn't like the contact. He's a quarterback. He's never hit anybody.
Right. No, you're right. All those tight ends that you mentioned, that's the stereotype. Complete tight end. When we were scouting, we used to say, okay, is the guy receiving tight end? Is he a blocking tight end? Or is he a complete tight end? And the guys that you mentioned, the Gronks of the world, were complete tight ends. And obviously, Tim Tebow does not fall into that category. So it was a good effort, but I'm glad they did this early. Now he can move on and start, getting his offense and Trevor Lawrence and company ready to go.
So, I said about the Bears situation is that Andy Dalton's always been as good as his supporting cast. I think Justin Fields is going to be really successful. Here's what I worry about. They're rebuilding their offensive line. They ended the year 8-8 in Chicago, and they were really bad down the stretch. So you think to yourself, okay, they'll solve some of their problems in free agency. They didn't. They'll solve some of their issues in the draft. They only had two picks in the first four rounds. So they didn't get one of the four or five best offensive linemen. My issue is, offensively, I don't think this is very talented. I think Justin Fields is going to have to carry them at times. And that's what I worry about. How talented do you think the Bears are offensively?
Well, I tell you what's happened. And for our viewers, our listeners, I was up at practice, and I'm pretty close to this situation. I do a lot of shows for them here, as you know, in Chicago. And two things happened. About two or three weeks ago, they signed Jesse James, a big 6'6 tight end, and they got rid of a wide receiver, Miller. That kind of turned the light on, and I said, oh, this is going to be interesting. Then Matt Nagy comes out and says, we're going to play everybody in the preseason. Last year, 2 years ago, that was a no-no. We weren't going to take a chance. We were, you know, and it gave you a soft mentality, at least me. So now they're going to play. Khalil Mack played in the opening game. Okay. Everybody plays. And then I look at the stats, 27 passes and 24 runs. I really think if they can stay that balanced, that defense is going to play 55 plays a game. They've got a top 10 defense. They've got excellent kickers and the special teams. And you got, you know, the best thing that an offensive lineman can do, or the easiest thing, if, and I had a lot of these type of guys that weren't as talented as the competition. And if you asked every one of them, they would say, "Coach, let us run the ball." Running the football is easier for an offensive lineman that's not as experienced, that's not as talented, as compared to the other side. So now the Bears, if they come out and let these young, inexperienced offensive linemen run the ball with Montgomery, who I think is an underrated player, that's going to take a lot of pressure off of Dalton or Fields. And that's going to give that defense a chance. Something's telling me deep down that the, whether it was McCaskey talking to Matt Nagy or him reading a book, or it was Ryan Pace, the general manager, but the light has gone on. There's different things happening at the Chicago Bears this year that have not happened since he's been there.
Is Cole Kmet a good blocking tight end?
He's the complete tight end. Exactly what you were referencing earlier. Cole Kmet is 6'6", and he can run 4'8", 4'9", and he can block with the best of them. He's a complete tight end. This guy's a star, and they got boxed in a little bit because of signing Jimmy Graham, you know, from Green Bay and New Orleans. We all know Seattle, and Jimmy's a veteran guy. So I think they held Kmet back a little bit. That's not going to happen anymore.
So if they are going to become a power offense,
yep,
you would go with Justin Fields to start game one?
No, I would not. I would start Dalton for this reason. And I, when I was at practice, Andy Dalton throws a simple little curl route. And I'm standing there in the sidelines. There's probably 500, 1,000 people at practice. Nobody moves. Five plays later, Justin Fields goes in there and throws the same play. Same receiver. He catches it. 1,000 people are on their feet screaming. So, you know, I mean, the point is that this town is so hot for Justin Fields that it's going to happen. And Andy's being paid a lot of money. He's a veteran. He's saying all the right things. I'd let him start off. I would have Justin Fields say, "You're going to play in this first game. I don't know how much. Let's see what happens, though." If the worst thing they could do is put this kid in there, and if he fails and fails early, boy, quarterbacks can lose their confidence. And now the locker room's looking around and you got all those issues. So I would go with Dalton to start off. I would play Fields in the first game, and it's going to take care of itself. Matt Nagy cannot listen to the fans. If he makes a decision because what the fans want, there's an old expression: you listen to the people in the stands, sooner or later you'll be sitting with them.
How many snaps are they sharing first-team snaps? Because that's crucial. You know, the other day when Tua, and we'll get to him in a second because you coached the Dolphins, Tua played the Bears. Tua's taken all the first-team snaps in Miami. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields isn't.
Yeah, Tua's the starter. He's the starter. Fields is not right now. And I think, you know, think about this. And Matt Nagy kind of fishtailed a little bit on this the other day. But the one thing that I will say about Matt, and I know him, and Ryan Pace and the McCaskey family, they are people of high integrity. And they told Andy Dalton, "You come here and you're going to be the starter." I just think that that's part of it, that they want to hold to their commitment of this kid. And I think that's what's going to happen. They open up Sunday night in Los Angeles against the Rams. So it's not going to be easy. I don't know if I put – I don't know. I don't think there's a quarterback in the league that would want to start under, you know, Aaron Donald, right?
No, they wouldn't. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app is really easy to use. Great odds on all different betting markets. Unique, fun bet types like same-game parlay. That's the best thing they have, in my opinion. Same-game parlays. And always-on promotions let you get more out of every game action. And if you win on FanDuel, they pay you in as little as 24 hours. In addition to the parlay insurance, if you haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet, new users can place your first bet risk-free. That's right, new users, $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with the promo code Colin to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Colin. 21 plus and present in Colorado, Indiana, or New Jersey. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required, $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gaming problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, and 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey. All right, so you and I are on the same page. I'd start Dalton against the Rams. I don't know what I'd do. I would have a series of maybe six plays. I'd let him watch, learn, and just let Andy take one for the team. And then I know this. When Justin Fields comes in, I want him taking all the number one snaps that week. I don't want these guys sharing snaps throughout. I think you have to go with Dalton.
Yeah.
And then if it works and you win, you go with Dalton again. You don't pull him out. But my takeaway is don't split snaps. Whoever's starting gets all of them.
Right. And you know what it caught me about the Bears game? People have to realize how big Justin Fields is. And when he breaks the line of scrimmage, he's, 6'2", 6'3", 225? I mean, there's not many defensive backs that really want to come up. And he's going to make a lot of big runs because in the NFL right now, the way guys tackle, I think he's going to run past and through a lot of those secondary guys. He can make a lot of plays for them. I thought I evaluated all these quarterbacks last weekend. We can get into that. I thought Fields, I thought that Zach Wilson was the best. I had never seen this kid play much. And I'm watching him at the Jets game. And I said, wow. I mean, he caught my attention. I thought accuracy, this quick decision making, the ball came out. And he was completing them. He was converting third downs, and there was a full-speed pass rush coming at him. I mean, that guy got my attention. I thought that Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence were about the same. Trey Lance, I thought he's got the farthest way to go. I did not see Mac Jones play at New England. I missed that game. But I saw the rest of them, and I'll tell you, the kid at the Jets is a player.
Well, I mean, listen, we knew this about him. His two comps are Aaron Rodgers and Johnny Manziel. He's got good feet, he moves well, and he's got a very, very quick release. He's got a better arm than Manziel. And the one thing I liked about Zach Wilson is, you know, Mikael Becton, they have a left tackle. Darnold never did.
Yep.
And then Elijah Vera Tucker. Now they're going to have, you know, arguably the best guard in the draft. So one of the things I liked about him, despite being a smallish quarterback, he's 6'2", 210. That's smaller than you'd like. Aaron Rodgers is 6'2", 225, thicker, big calves, big wrists. Aaron's a thicker athlete. But I thought Zach stood in the pocket. And Trent Dilfer told me this years ago. He goes, some guys, Colin, they don't like defensive linemen barking at him. They don't like it. They get nervous. I thought Zach, as a smaller quarterback, just stood as the pocket kept closing and closing, and he just stood there. And that's something to me. There's a certain inner confidence that was impressive.
I would agree totally. You know what's amazing? All of these young quarterbacks are playing well, and there's so many teams right now that are talking about going to the Super Bowl, and they want to anoint these young quarterbacks. You know, I mean, they want to bless them already. I would just take you back, and when we went to Dallas – with Troy Aikman, our first year. And I think we might have been 3-1, but we were feeling real good about the preseason. And we went down to New Orleans, and Justin Fields made one comment that makes me a little nervous. He said, the game wasn't nearly as fast as I thought it would be. Okay? Well, it wasn't nearly as fast for us. We were driving back. We beat the Raiders, and And you know, we had never lost at University of Miami down there, Jimmy and myself and all the whole crew. And we're driving back. And I remember saying to myself, God, this is going to be easy. Well, what's the big deal? And we went down and played the Saints in New Orleans, and we got shut out. And the only time they didn't score is when they missed a field goal or dropped the ball in the end zone. We were terrible. We won one game that year. But in the preseason, we had a whole different feeling. So, you know, I'm pumping the brakes. I love what I see out of these young quarterbacks, but I'm kind of pumping the brakes a little bit and saying, you know, it's going to be a different game. Justin Fields, slow down. It's going to be faster. Trust me, when you play, get in that game with against the Rams and see Aaron Donald and company over there, it's going to be a lot faster.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. In the preseason, the defense a quarterback sees before the snap is the defense you'll see. They're not making their adjustments. They're not hiding. They want you to see vanilla stuff. No, if I was a defensive coordinator, I'm not showing you jack squat in the preseason.
Right. You know, that's a good point. And to add to that, I was talking to Bill Polian the other day. I was doing something with him. And Bill was at Indy when I was at the Dolphins. And we were talking about the same thing, Colin. And I said, you know, let me tell you about where rookie quarterbacks get caught up. And I said, I had Jay Fiedler. And Jay Fiedler was an Ivy League guy. He was a smart guy. He was a winner. He was a leader. You know, but he wasn't Peyton Manning and he wasn't Tom Brady. I mean, I got that. Okay. But we won, you know, 10, 11 games a year. But the thing that would happen, the way the NFL is, and everybody needs to think about this, these games are going to come down to the last, to the fourth quarter, maybe the last couple of possessions. And you don't know how many times Jay Fiedler would walk over and we would be standing there and I might say, Jay, you know, don't force that ball into a two deep coverage. And he says, Coach, they're disguising it. They're really wanting to play a three deep. I know I can throw it to whatever. A rookie quarterback's not going to see that. I promise you. And right. And that's what's going to separate guys. And I'm not going to use Andy Dalton, but an Andy Dalton from a Justin Fields. The fourth quarter of that Rams game, when they start disguising and changing coverages and changing fronts, and you've got to check out of this and get them into this, Andy Dalton's seen it all. He's going to be able to communicate with the coach, and Justin Fields is going to be learning. And that goes right across the board. I use them as an example, but I think it goes for every one of these rookie quarterbacks. That's what you're going to have to deal with. And then what's the situation? I mean, Matt Nagy needs to win this year, you know, right. And, you know, where the Jets, you know, they're a rookie head coach. He's got time. So you got to look at each situation and say every coach has a window when it's going to close on you. It might be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Well, some of these windows, obviously, the new head coach, some of these windows are closing. Makes a difference.
Let's pivot to the Miami Dolphins. You coached them for years. I really think they're well coached. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Last year, in the second year of a rebuild, they were second or third fewest penalties, best third down defense, forced the most turnovers. This is in the middle of a rebuild. That's remarkable. That's what a veteran team like a Baltimore, a New England with a veteran coaching staff does. So we know they're well coached. And I was thinking this, I thought to myself with Tua, it's not going to be that Tua won't win games. The issue with Tua, I mean, Mark Sanchez got to back-to-back AFC championships. It's not about winning games. Now, for a coach, that may be the only thing that matters. The question becomes in the AFC, is at some point in the postseason, this is the trap of Tua. They're so well coached, and he is an accurate thrower who won't make a ton of mistakes. And there's a little fool's gold in that. You can win 10 games. They may go 11-6. And I think he could. But Josh Allen, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, I don't see him as a player who can carry you in big spots against elite quarterbacks. So take me to the Tua situation. What if he goes, what if he wins, but you feel as a coach, he is incredibly limited? What are the discussions like behind closed doors?
Oh, I think you try to do what you can do around him. You know, we won 11 games a year my first 2 years at Miami and won a division and on, won a playoff game, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And we knew that Jay Fiedler had limitations. Okay. He was a free agent guy. He wasn't the number one pick, blah, blah. So I went out and made the trade for Ricky Williams. And I said, you know what? We are going to pick the slack up with a running game. And it didn't get us to the Super Bowl, but Ricky led the NFL in rushing and did well. So I think I think it's too early to make that determination on Tua, number one. And number two, that's what I would look at. If I was a coach, I would say, okay, what can we do or what do we have to do as a team to win and to get us to that Super Bowl? I mean, there's been a lot of teams. I mean, when we got eliminated my second year at the Dolphins, we were 11-5 and Baltimore beat us. They had the best defense in the league with Ray Lewis and those guys. They went in running the ball. Can't remember the running back's name now from Tennessee, but they were a run team, a little bit of play action and play defense. So you can do it a lot of different ways. You really can. But I think I'm so glad that Tua had some success because I was so afraid in this, I call it a microwave NFL nowadays. If it doesn't happen quick enough, you're out. And that they give him some time now because he had some success. I think the guy's going to be good. I really do. I think he's got the right intangibles.
You know, it's funny. Chicago is a much more rabid sports town than Miami. We know that. Miami's much more transient. Is that actually an advantage to Tua? Like in Chicago, there's this, talk radio, the newspaper. It's big city media. They kick the shit out of you if you lose. They want you to. In Miami, they got a million other things to do. I always say, once you add a beach, it's like adding another pro team to a town. People are distracted. Is that an advantage coaching? When you coached in Miami, did you feel like, they don't pay quite as close attention, get away with a little more as a coach?
Oh, there's no more. I mean, it's so true. There's no comparison. At Miami, when we played the Jets and we played the Steelers and the Eagles, they would have 10,000 fans there. You're not going to see that in Chicago. In Chicago, I lived the rabid fan thing in Chicago. They were talking about impeach Bill Clinton and Dave Wanstead. So I lived in the stand. I might have been an airplane. I can't remember. It might have been an airplane flying over Soldier Field. So, yes, they are more rabid here in Chicago. I don't know if that really helps you or not. At the end of the day, they're going to look at your record. When you don't win in Miami, you can still go into a restaurant and maybe get a dinner with your wife. Don't lose in Chicago and try to go to R&L or try to go to Gibson's and expect to sit there and have a nice dinner on a Friday night with your wife. I mean, it could be rough. It could be rough. I lived that too.
Really? So when you lost, you just ate at home?
Oh, players used to talk about that. They would send their wives out to get groceries. I mean, it was Christmas time. There was a guy dressed in Santa Claus. All I want for Christmas is a new head coach. Merry Christmas. But they're good fans because they get it and they're Bear fans. I think there's a 14,000 waiting list right now to get a Bear season ticket.
That's great. Now, did Jan, your wife, did she prefer when you were coach of the Dolphins or Bears? What did she prefer just from a family perspective?
You know what's interesting about her? I coached in 9 places, college, Oklahoma State, Pitt, USC, and all the NFL jobs. And she would always say, including Buffalo, someone would say, how do you like living in Buffalo? And she would say, this is the best place we've ever lived. And if you look at where you're at, for anybody out there that's listening, that's made job moves, remember this, there's always something really good and special about a place. It doesn't matter where it is. And to this day, I get texts and invites from people that own restaurants in Buffalo, New York. And I was there 2 years. I was invited over to the house at Christmas, my Jan and I. So my point is that she had the attitude that wherever we were at, you know what, this is the greatest place we've ever coached. And that's been the difference.
My wife was in HR for a restaurant chain, and she had to go to all these northeastern Midwest cities, the Clevelands, the Minneapolises, Chicago. She said Buffalo had the nicest people. Yeah. Easily.
They're Pittsburgh people. Yeah, absolutely. The best fans and great people and good restaurants. And DePaulo's restaurant, that was my spot up there. Absolutely. Dennis DePaulo, still a good friend. Stayed at my place in Naples a couple of years ago.
Well, you are friends to everybody. Okay, I got to do one Cowboy question. Oh, no. I want to do a Patriot question.
I got to say this about the Cowboys. I was in Canton last weekend with Jimmy Johnson, and Jerry Jones put on a party for Drew Pearson and Cliff Harris, the three Cowboys. And Jerry was there. Jerry and I talked. He was fantastic. And Tony Dorsett was there, who I blocked for. Tony and I were teammates at Pitt. And I got to see Too Tall. And the whole event was fantastic. And Cowboys were well represented. Okay, go on to New England.
Well, I love that. You know what? Because I think Jerry, I think as you age and you can sense your mortality, I think you want to clean up your messes. And I think Jerry wants to clean up the Jimmy thing.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And I look for Jimmy to get his Hall of Fame ring this year. And he's going to, I believe he'll get into the Ring of Honor this year. And I think it'll all happen at the same time live in Dallas. That's my prediction.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, you're the coach of the Patriots. I can make two arguments. Now, let's both agree that New England is fairly limited in terms of speed and weaponry on the perimeter offensively. They don't have a lot. Nelson Aguilar is okay. You know, he drops a lot. But he's a fairly big play receiver. But they don't have a lot of guys. You don't have to roll your coverage over. You know, if you were a defensive coordinator watching film, what you worry about is their trap game, their screen game. It's not the deep right. threats. So I can make two arguments. Cam gives us a playmaker, and we don't have many. Or I could make the argument, Mac Jones, we're not talented enough to overcome mistakes. Mac won't make as many. He won't fumble. He won't get hit. He's more accurate. He doesn't run. He's not going to get stripped. I could make two arguments for the starting quarterback. You coach the Patriots. Where do you go?
Well, I was at the Dolphins when Bill had Drew Bledsoe starting and Tom Brady as the backup. And Bill went with Bledsoe until he got hurt. And then that's when Tom Brady got his opportunity. I look at this situation and I probably would go with Mac Jones, to be quite honest with you. I really think that this kid, Bill's not threatened with his job. He's not in a situation Matt Nagy is, that he's worried about job security. And, you know, I mean, I think Cam is doing everything he can. I'm a Cam fan, but what's his strong suit? It's not throwing. It used to be running and athletically, and it's not even that anymore. So I think that Cam is a great backup if he's a good guy in the locker room, but I would go with Matt, and I would not even look back. That's my opinion. I think it's completely different. I think Mac Jones is going to be the guy. He's done well enough to this point. I'd put him in there and let him go.
You know, I think New England this year is going to look like Miami last year. Is that they could win 10 games, great coaching, defense, special teams, don't turn it over much.
Yep.
Now Miami this year, bringing in Jaylen Waddle and Will Fuller, now they've got some real speed on the perimeter.
Yep.
But they didn't really last year. It was Gesicki, the tight end, Devontae Parker. It wasn't a very dynamic, robust perimeter game. So that's where I think Mac Jones has the coaches. If they had to raise their hands, you know, let's vote on this thing. He'll keep them out of trouble pre-snap. no turnovers. I mean, I think you bring up a good point. What does Cam do well? Peter King was on my show the other day, and he said, go look at the tape. He's not an accurate thrower of the football. In his prime, he wasn't great. Now he's below average.
Right. And we knew I played against him when he was kind of in his prime down there. And when it was fourth and two, fourth and three, you know, they were going to run the quarterback read and they were going to run the power and he was going to keep the ball and run it. Kind of a wildcat mentality with Cam. I mean, I defended it. And because of his size and his strength and his athletic ability, it was very difficult to stop. Now it's different. And I just don't see it. I think he's a backup in this league. And if you got somebody that you're halfway like, which they do, I would go on. I would go forward.
All right. So I'm coming to Chicago in a week and a day from when this airs. So this will air Wednesday morning, and I'm coming next Thursday afternoon. And we can't talk about where we're going to dinner, but I think our wives are going to get along. Because every time you talk about your wife with me, I like how you said everywhere we've lived, your wife is like, this is the best place. That's what my wife always says. Let's just make it the best place. Listen, we lived in cold, snowy Connecticut, and we had to be really creative on figuring out stuff to do. There's not a lot to do in Connecticut.
Right.
And in the end, I was there with Ann for like 7 years. We had a blast.
Yep.
We had a blast.
No, I totally agree. And, that's made the difference. I mean, we made these moves and we kind of had a thing with where I would move and find a place where good schools were and she would stay back and sell the house. And she sold and we built three or four new houses from scratch and she was behind it. So we kind of had a nice little system going. Yeah. Now, the only problem with that is, and 90% of my moves were good because I wanted to. But when I stand up there and I talk in front of a group and I list everywhere I coached, I kind of give the impression I could never hold a job.
That's funny. All right. Well, this is perfect because you just took your last sip of Terry Bradshaw's bourbon.
I got more. When you come to dinner, we're going to come over here and have a drink and a snack before we go. If you want one, you can have one. I'll have one for you.
I'm a vodka drinker.
I got plenty of that, too.
All right. I know you did.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Great seeing you.
All right, Colin. See you, buddy.
All right. Check us out. Our YouTube page at The Volume. Twitter at The Volume. Instagram at The Volume. Sign up. Rate, review, subscribe. I tell my wife this all the time. I've never met a guy in sports who is more connected. I call him Uncle Dave than Dave Wannstedt, the great American sports LinkedIn. He's a human football LinkedIn. I have Jake Paul coming up, Triple H, the wrestler coming up, and major announcements coming up very soon at The Volume.
The Volume.